Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
You will know him from his roles in Deadpool and Silicon Valley, and he's also provided his voice to a long list of animated TV shows and films, including the forthcoming Emoji Movie, and he does a bit of stand-up comedy as well. TJ Miller will be appearing a few times during this weekend's Vodafone Comedy Festival in the ID Gardens in Dublin. TJ, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how are you?
I'm not bad, I suppose. I can't complain. How are you?
I can't complain either. I'm in Ireland, which is much nicer than being where I'm from, right now at least. And
where are you from? In the US, I mean.
Yeah. From Denver, Colorado. And actually, we live in New York, and, you know, I love Denver, love New York, love Los Angeles to a certain extent. But Ireland has just been, my joke has been that you people, you Irish, are oppressively friendly. It's a lot as an American. When you talk to an Irish person, you can say, is the hotel at the end of this block? And they'll go, oh, yes. And then 20 minutes later, they're telling you, like, and they have the most beautiful music at this bar on Thursdays. And you just tell Nancy that I sent you and she'll take you home, give you a home-cooked meal, give you a massage, you can sleep over. It's so much. You guys are being so friendly that as an American, at the end of it, you're always kind of going, what are you trying to get from me? Like, yeah. What are you trying to steal from my family?
Yeah, and I know the Nancy you're talking about. I'd watch her.
Watch out.
It's more than an actual
good
massage.
Cook, but the massage
check
ends
her wallet
up with
on the way out.
Either a happy or an unhappy ending, yeah.
Yeah, and I know you've tweeted about Trump and you've got into various scrapes, physical and otherwise,
sure,
because of it. Is the mood in the U.S. different now?
Yes, it's terrible. I mean, we're in a terrible situation. And we have some people that kind of won't let go of having voted for him and standing by that decision. But a lot of people have sort of realized, I almost think that there's a fair amount of people that voted for him almost as like a middle finger to the United States or to the administration that Barack Obama was running. And they didn't think that he was going to win. They sort of wanted to do that to be rebellious and, again, throw up a middle finger towards the United States. And then when it happened, I remember going around in New York right after the election. And see, New York hates him, right? I mean, he's from Queens. But in New York, 92% of the people voted for her and the other 8% didn't really vote. And so he's the most hated man in the largest, most powerful city in the United States. Same as in Silicon Valley and Los Angeles. But you would walk around after the election and people just had these 1,000-yard stares, or we call them 100-yard stares. And you would see, I'll never forget, I walked down one block and I saw two couples breaking up, fighting and breaking up because of this situation. One girl was screaming and crying and saying, how can I ever be a part of your family if your parents voted for him? How could I do that? And it was a mess. You know, I mean, it's really, really a mess. And Kate and I sort of know some fairly influential people. So we right afterwards flew to Silicon Valley and New York. We were living in Los Angeles to figure out kind of what people's plans were. And it just, everybody was confused, you know, like I have access to a lot of hackers through someone in Silicon Valley. And we were talking about, there's nothing to be hacked. He was right when he says he could kill somebody on Madison Avenue and his approval ratings with his base would not change. They do not care that he is the worst person on the face of the planet. And as we've watched what he's done in office, which is literally almost nothing. And even when he was doing these shock bombs, right, which would be, they would be trying to do something else, and then he would say something horrible about women or immigrants or something like that, and that would occupy the news cycle, and they would try and do. But as we saw him sort of fail to change healthcare, fail to do any of this infrastructure, lie about bringing jobs back, like the companies continued to go to Mexico. All of those were publicity stunts. This wall is not real. It's not really going to go up. So it's just this very sad time. It's maybe the darkest time in American history where we have this sociopathic proven liar who fired the guy that was going to find out the Russia collusions and all that sort of stuff. And I think a lot of the progressives are making a much bigger deal about the Russia thing than maybe they should be or something. But then we have Oliver Stone go and talk with Vladimir Putin and come back and say things like, well, I really admire the guy. I think he's a great guy. So it's just there's a lot of confusion right now in the United States. And he's doing this horrible thing, which is attacking the free press and Hollywood, because those are the two most threatening things to him. And it's just really bad. He's, you know, he's taken a page from Hitler's notebook, if only in the sense that you attack the press, right? And in Hitler's case, it was the Jewish press that they were after. But you attack the press and you attack people of influence. And in the United States, the people with the greatest influence are not politicians. They are it's Hollywood. And so he's taken those two entities on to try and paint us as out of touch, you know, liberal cultural elites, these coastal elites, they call us. And it's a really – it's tough because we donated to this woman that a lot of us didn't really believe in. We were paying money to put someone in office who would raise our taxes. So we were paying money to try and pay more money, and that doesn't connect with people. For some reason, his base kind of doesn't get that we are fighting for them, not for ourselves. And he did this very strange thing that we just didn't think was going to work, because we who are educated sort of were like, that no one's going to buy this, that we're going to go back in time, that coal is the future, that all these things that aren't real, all the things that he promised are so clear. We're headed towards a shared economy. We're automating these jobs that he's promised will be done by robots in 2 to 3 years. So he did this thing, which was he presented a con that didn't seem like it would work. But in fact, it very, very much did. And I don't, you know, some people have a lot of hate for Trump supporters. And this guy where they claimed that I slapped an Uber driver or something, I have no ill will against the people that voted for him, truly. I mean, we see now what they've done. But even in a conversation with that guy, he was getting angry because he was trying to pick a fight with me because he was a black guy that had voted for Donald Trump. And I was just asking questions. I said, do you think it's selfish at all that you did that? Do you care what the repercussions are to people who have been born in this country but don't have citizenship? I was just asking him questions because I wanted to understand why a person would do that. But I understand why a lot of people voted for him, because they're unhappy. In fact, it's Hollywood's fault that we're pumping this Real Housewives of rich kids having the $100,000 birthday party. We keep telling people, especially in a capitalist society, if you had more money, you'd be happier. If you had this bigger television, you'd be happier. If you could only afford this toothpaste, you would be happier. And so there are all these people that kind of are like, well, what happened to my American dream? You know, why don't I have the same shot? And why don't I have what these coastal elites, quote unquote, have? And so they were voting just to have an improved life, to be able to go back in time and get the jobs back that they had lost. It's not as if these people don't deserve a leader who represents them. They just thought that it was going to be this like billionaire trust fund kid who kept saying to them, like, I'm a man of the people, I'm with you guys. And the second he gets into office, he's just trying to pass legislation that helps him and his billionaire friends.
Doesn't that mean, though, to a degree, that there are two Americas? There's one America that can't believe anyone would vote for Donald Trump, but there's another America which, to a certain extent, which, as you categorized, they see wealth on the coast, or they see wealth in other states, and around the Rust Belt, the jobs have leaked away and there's nothing for them. But there's also a tendency to believe all sorts of crazy stuff, that the media is against them, that all this power is being...
They believe this stuff that I think was injected by Russia. I know people at Facebook, and they admitted, they were like, yeah, they kind of hacked their way into our algorithms and, you know, figured out a way. But some people believed that Hillary Clinton was using body doubles and she had Parkinson's disease, just these things that aren't real and weren't found in anything. But that is our real problem right now, is we're living in two different Americas. I live in the blue America and other people live in these red states. And it's a problem. I mean, what happened in this election is it really revealed that not a lot has changed since the Civil War. We have these people that believe that abortion is wrong, that women don't have a right to choose, that black people are kind of less than white people. And the fact that there is a black guy in the White House was this terrible, shameful thing to the United States. We have these two contingents that believe completely different things. Their values are totally... We felt the second that he said, you can grab them by the pussy, is what the president of the United States said in confidence to another man. We figured once he said that he would lose the female vote. And yet, I know somebody who worked in Alabama after the election, and these two girls, this is really, really going to be sad for everyone who's about to hear this. These two women in the makeup and hair trailer were wearing red hats. And after about a week or so, this actor, Karan Soni, he plays a cab driver in Deadpool, and he and I were in Office Christmas Party together. He finally asked him, he said, why did you vote for him after the kind of grab him by the pussy stuff? And these girls said, I don't know. I like bad boys. I really fall for like a bad boy. And that sigh that you just gave is the feeling that everybody has when they hear that, because it doesn't make sense. And it's sad. It's sad that women would vote to put that guy in a position of power. But that's how a person that lives in my America would never, ever allow that person to be, especially someone who had multiple allegations for weird, awful sexual assault. One of them that was him kissing someone while his pregnant wife was in the other room and saying, I'm going to have he's a deplorable human being by any progressive values or assessment. And the regressives, or regs, as we call them in the United States, the regressives they don't care, I guess. It doesn't really matter to them. And then the real danger, and what's so sad, is that a lot of that must come from selfishness, from feeling like illegal immigrants are taking our jobs. I deserve to have more money. I want to pay less taxes once I'm really rich. And my cousin, Miller Davis, who's also my writing partner and works on the Critics' Choice Awards and the show Gorberger that I produce, he sort of said, and he still is speaking in terms of liberals and Republicans, which I don't talk about anymore because I think that's irrelevant now. Nobody wanted him in office. So it didn't, but anyway, my cousin made this really good point, which is that he said Republicans vote for what they think their lives will be like, and liberals vote for the way that the world is right now. And for a man who didn't like Hillary Clinton, this is me, and donated the maximum amount of money that I could, literally to pay more taxes, right? If she had been installed in office, my taxes would have been raised and the middle class's taxes would have been lowered. Now instead, she lost and I end up paying 6% less in taxes. Whereas I guess the average amount of money that's going to be saved by the rest of the income tax brackets is like $2,000 in a year, the maximum that they'll be able to save. But in America, we have this problem where people would be like, yeah, he'll grab him by the pussy, but I might be able to go to Disney World this year with that extra money that I'm saving. And that's more important than teaching women that they're just objects and shouldn't be the president, but rather should just get that sweet, sweet pussy grabbed. I had this joke that I've been doing in stand-up that I love, and I'm going to do it here, which is Meryl. We all saw Meryl Streep's great speech and talking not about even women, but about the responsibility that comes with power. And the responsibility of people that are public, personas to use that power correctly. And I saw that speech and I wanted to just grab her pussy, just grab her and just pull her towards me by the pussy. But it's a tough one. It's like we don't know what to do. And I tried to talk about it in Kilkenny at the Kilkenny Catlefs Comedy Festival in Kilkenny, Ireland. And, I quickly realized I bombed. I was on my birthday. I quickly realized that people in Ireland don't want to hear about what's going on, because for other countries, they don't really want an apology because they've had to stand by and watch this thing that they don't have control over but will affect their lives happen. And it was such a bummer for everyone that people don't want to talk about it. And there's this weird thing also in the United States where Russians now used to be kind of these people that kept to themselves and you know, you didn't really talk to Russians or hang out with them, but nobody hated them or anything like that. And now Russians feel very uncomfortable in the United States. They feel uncomfortable being in public. They feel uncomfortable saying that they're Russian. Some Russians who are progressives wear safety pins so that they can kind of try and balance out what's going on right now. But so it's really changed the landscape and the general climate of the United States. And I go on, you know, media outlets promoting the Emoji Movie. And a big part of what I talk about is the positive messaging that's directed towards women. So even something as ridiculous as the Emoji Movie has to now become a part of sort of the progressive mission statement of trying to reverse this terrible backward step we've taken in the United States. And it's just, we went in one day from a country that you would be proud to say that you're from to not a laughingstock, but like a deplorable, you know, nation that really is like embarrassed, upset with itself. The hatred that is coming from the regressives towards us is really, really, really strange. So I'm kind of, you know, we're all confused, but for me, I quit Silicon Valley so that I could do more stand-up because that's sort of the best way that I can help is to make people feel better about it or to help people think differently or whatever.
And you will be able to see that stand-up at the Vodafone Comedy Festival.
Ooh, you're good. Look at that
weekend. Yeah, well, that's why I do this as a job. It's in Dublin's Ivy Gardens. You're on the Friday and the Sunday. And are you doing some...
And I'm doing sketch comedy with my group Heavyweight. And that's going to be really good. Thursday and Sunday, or I think they still have tickets for both of those shows. But come see Heavyweight. Come see my stand-up. And my stand-up, because I just did an hour, will be different each night. And it'll be a lot of improvisation, a lot of riffing with the crowd. And the festival, which I haven't been to, is supposed to just be wonderful. It's in the Ivy Gardens. And there's just so much talent. I'm on a show with Tommy Tiernan, right? The comedic Elvis Ireland.
Yeah.
Just, you know, little known comedian, Tommy Tiernan. The only people that can sell more tickets than him in Ireland are you two. And I'm talking about the two of you. And, you know, it's great Irish talent, great American talent. And it has a festival feel. There's jugglers and buskers and, just all sorts of stuff to do. So I really encourage people to come, get drunk, laugh, and have a time of it. Because the Irish, again, oppressively friendly, but what a great sense of humor. Really into absurdist comedy, all types of comedy. And you'll get plenty of that with Heavyweight and my solo stand-up.
Fantastic. TJ, thanks a million for coming into us. TJ Miller, this weekend in the Ivy Gardens. TJ, thanks a million.
Thank you so much. And apologies to everybody who watched. I'm sorry about my hair.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.